The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, hallelujah. What a beautiful day we have for Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day to everyone. I noticed that some very astute wife, I assume, noticed that, and she looked up father in the dictionary, and she saw that it was smack dab in the middle of fatigue and fathead. So to all you fatigue, fathead fathers, happy Father's Day. Mm-hmm. Father's Day is interesting. We honor our fathers. And you know, all of our holidays have become so commercialized. Everybody realize that. You know that. We don't like it. We get tired of it. But you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, they're important times. We set aside this time to honor our mothers, our fathers. And it does not have to be commercialized for us. For me as a father, last night my children came over. My son did buy me a steak and brought it over and fixed it for me. But that wasn't even necessary. I really appreciate it. But what makes Father's Day for me is having my family around me. And I think that for most of you who are fathers in here, it's not about a gift, right? It's about family. Because family is really what makes the body of Christ worth living for. Because, you know, our individual families are important, but our whole extended family as part of the body of Christ is so very important. So family is God's idea. Now, the enemy's idea is to destroy families, and he's done a pretty good job of that. He's trying his best to destroy every family that he can possibly destroy. But through the healing power of Jesus Christ, God is in the business of redeeming and healing family issues. So I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the four loves of a godly father, because I just want to give you some encouragement. I want to tell you, I want to give you some direction on some of the things that I've learned over the years that I think are very important in regards to our loves, our priorities, the kind of things that we need to do as fathers. I'm not here this morning to condemn anybody. We're all doing the best we can do. And sometimes we make some mistakes. As we begin this process of being a father, how many recognize that being a parent and being a father, a mother, we didn't get a manual? You know, we did try to learn from our own parents, but sometimes they fell short. So it's a learning process. We're trying to do the best we can. But I can tell you this, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when I first became a believer, I started listening to pastors on the radio, preaching and teaching, listening to tapes and CDs. And back in that day, it was cassette tapes and, really dating myself with that one. Yeah. But anyhow, I listened to those things because they had insight into what it meant to be a godly father. And I tried my best to learn from them. And that's why I'm trying to share these things with you this morning, because I want you to learn and grow together. I want us all to recognize that there's some important principles that the Bible teaches us that we need to apply to our life every day. Now, these things that I'm going to be teaching you are not, you know, it doesn't matter how old your children are, it's still very important. If you just became a believer last week or last year, these principles are important for you to learn and grow in. If your children are already grown, these principles, it will still make a difference in your life for your children. So the four loves that I want to share with you today are lifetime principles. No matter how old you get, they're going to be something that you can apply to your life. So the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, many times we look at this scripture and we believe, well, you know, that's a command or that's a promise to us that if we do certain things, our children will not depart far from the Word of God. And I believe that's very true. But I think it's more of a commandment that we train up our children the way they should go than anything else. It's our responsibility to train them. Then it's their responsibility to respond to that. That's why God gave us all free will. So if we will do our part, then we just turn it over to God and let Him do the rest with our children. And you know, I got to tell you, I realize that if we do our part, the response from our children is usually very positive. Doesn't mean that they're all going to serve God exactly the way we want them to, but they're going to have those principles instilled within them. So, number one, love God. That's number one. First principle, priorities. Love God above everything else. Love God above your spouse. Love God above your children. Love God above and beyond your desires, your recreation, or whatever it is in your life. Love God more than anything else. And that will show up in your lifestyle. You can't hide it. People will know that you love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you'll turn there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Excuse me. I apologize, but I'm struggling with a little tickle in my throat. I'll try not to allow that to distract me too much. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord our God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. First of all, he gives them laws to live by. And that you may so revere the Lord your God that you will keep all his statutes and commandments that I am giving you, you, your children, and your grandchildren, all your lives to prolong your days. There's a promise. If we will listen to the word of God, we will prolong our days. We will have a prosperous life. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. He was promising the Israelites at that time that their lifestyle would affect the land that they lived in. It was very important. Now, the same thing applies. We are spiritual Israel. Now, I'm not espousing a replacement theology. I don't want you to think that. But biblically, we are grafted in. So the body of Christ is spiritual Israel. God's dealing with the nation of Israel, and He will to the end of time. He's trying to draw them back. But His body is the body of Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ. So our spiritual awareness is that we are spiritually grafted in, and we are sons and daughters of the living God, which He also told Israel they were. We'll go on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. There it is, gentlemen. Love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. This is what God desires for you as a man, as a father, as a husband. A godly father sets the example for his children. A godly father does certain things in his life that makes a difference for his children. He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He reads the Word of God, and the children, he's not afraid to pray in front of his children, to set the example for his children. He's bold in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, not everybody's going to be bold right off the bat, but as you grow in the Lord, you will begin to recognize that there's a certain amount of boldness that comes from knowing the Lord your God because He's on your side. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. You have everything that you need to be a bold, strong witness for Jesus Christ. And it starts in your family. I'm encouraging you this morning to be strong, be bold, and just do it, what the Lord calls you to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 says this, "My son, do not forget my law, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life," there again we get a promise, "length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of a heart." Where does mercy and truth begin? In the family. Let mercy and truth, don't let it forsake you. "And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." In God and man. You know, one of the things that that happens in our individual lives is that as a family, people, I guess what they do, they assume that if you come from a certain family, you have a certain character, right? I mean, come on. How many times have you ever heard, "Well, he comes from a good family," or "she comes from good stock," right? We hear that kind of stuff. Why? Because the attitude and the behavior and the character of our forefathers meant something. I think it meant more then than it means now. But it's extremely important. So that's why it's so important that you as a father set the example. So that when your children go out into this world, people will say something like, "Oh yeah, they came from a good family. Honest. They have integrity." Tammy's dad, you know, he was a very honest man. A good man in many ways. A stubborn man in many ways. He and I butted heads sometimes. You know, you get two stubborn people together, you're going to hit heads, right? Well, anyhow, one of the things that he would always tell his children when they went out to do something and they were telling him stories about who they met, and he would say, "Did you tell them you're a bar?" That meant something. It was about his character and his family's character. It's about our character as believers in Jesus Christ. People, whether you like it or not, people are going to judge your children based on you. Now, eventually, they'll judge them based on them. But initially, they'll judge them based on you, particularly you, fathers. Set the example for your children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. The man, the writer of Proverbs right here, is telling his son, he's teaching him, do not let these principles forsake you. Recognize them. Set the example for your children. If you do this, I can guarantee you this, fathers, your children will not always be happy with you, but they will respect and honor you. As a kid, when I was growing up, I remember how strong and my dad was, how much I loved him as a child. But he set an example of something that I didn't even think about at the time, but I would see him sitting around reading his Bible and praying. You know, as a kid, I didn't think twice about it. But now as an adult, I recognize how important that example was for me and for my family. He was strong and he set the right example for others. Fathers, what are you teaching your sons and daughters? Teach them church attendance. Teach them prayer. Teach them devotional time. Take time. Teach them about the things of God. Spend time with them. Come on, there's plenty of time for ball games, fishing, hunting, vacations, boating, recreation, whatever it is that we want to do. And wherever we are, there's opportunity to teach our children about the things of God. We make a lot of sacrifices for our children. And I thank you, fathers, for sacrificing for your children, being there, doing things that you otherwise really didn't want to do, but you're doing it because you love them. Keep doing that. Make the right choices. Hear the voice of God when it comes to your children. Take time with them. Proverbs 22:6, once again, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Here's a quote that I run onto. I don't even know who gave it, but it says, example teaches us better than precept. It is best a modeler of the character of men and women. Character is so very important, and we are teaching our children based on that. Train your children. Set the example. Do what is right. The Duke of Wellington was an army veteran. He was accredited with defeating Napoleon. He was one of Great Britain's greatest warriors. And one day an inventor came to him, trying to get him to invest in a new invention. It was called a bulletproof waistcoat. And he told the Duke, he said, "This is absolutely the most marvelous invention of all times. It will save your life. You need this invention." And he was doing his best to sell this thing. It'll keep you from being assassinated. The Iron Duke asked the man to put it on, and he went over and looked at it and examined it real well. And then he said, "Okay, looks pretty good. Go get me a rifleman." And as soon as he said that, the guy bolted out the door. If you're not willing to set the example, you know, there's sometimes it's a sacrifice. But do you really believe in your God? Do you? Your children are going to know. Or do you bolt out the door when it's time to set that example? The second thing I want to talk to you about loving is love your wife. Love your spouse. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." This is servanthood. This is what God has called a husband to do. Love his wife the same way Jesus loved the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He gave up his life for the church. That's what we're called. We're called to give up our life. Husbands, if it's all about you all the time, there's something wrong. Seek the Lord. Let him speak to you. Let it be about your family, your children, and particularly your wife. Husbands, you can't change your wife, and wife, you can't change your husband. You may try, but I'm telling you, it just turns into a battle. You're not the Holy Spirit. I know that's a newsflash to some of you, but you're not. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit make the changes. Allow God to work in individual lives. My dad set a huge example when I was growing up, loving my mom. He would nourish her. He would cherish her. He wasn't afraid to show affection in front of us boys. My dad truly loved my mother, and I knew that. And I, you know, although he never lifted his hand to me, I was wise enough to know that I was to have total and complete respect for my mother, or I'd probably wake up in the following year after he drove me through the wall, merely because he loved her that much. Now, he wasn't a violent man. I want you to misunderstand me. But he loved my mother that much. It's very, very important that we love one another, and particularly fathers. You gotta love your wife the way Christ loved the church. But I want to tell you something, men. I heard Mark Lowry talk about this one day, and he said, "Men, whether you like it or not, your dog loves you more than your wife." And he said, "I'll prove it to you. Take your wife and your dog and put them in the trunk of your car and come back in 10 minutes and find out which one's happy to see you." I thought that was pretty good. Praise God. Fathers, love your children's mother. Show it in front of them. Take time, man. Make their birthday important. Make anniversaries important. Make these things important. Father's Day, Mother's Day, you know, make it about family. It's very important. Husbands, above all else, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, one of the things that, and it doesn't have to be anything great, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, when it comes to Mother's Day or any time you're giving a gift to your spouse, just think about this. Think about something that they like, depending on the kind of language that they speak. You know, I promote the five love languages because I believe it's a very good book that helps us understand each other's love language. But find out what your spouse, what kind of things your spouse likes. You know, I can make Tammy very happy by just writing a little note saying, I love you, or bringing her a candy bar. You know, it's very simple. It's a simple thing. And praise God it's simple because I'm simple. And I need it to be that way. But hallelujah, all we have to do is try to understand one another. Husbands, love your wife. And number three, love your children. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Spend time with your children is what he's telling you to do. Spend time telling them about the things of God. Someone once said that children spell love, T-I-M-E, time. And I believe that's very true. Your children really just want to spend some time with you. They want you around. They want you to spend quality time with them. I'll never forget a few years ago, I heard Harmon Killebrew, who was a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he was talking about his family and growing up. And he said, I'll never forget that my dad, when he would work all day, and then he would come home in the evening. And he would take time to go out in the yard and play with us. He'd play ball with us, and we'd play out in the yard. And my mother would come out sometimes, and she'd say, honey, you guys are killing the grass. Look what you're doing. And my dad would say, dear, we're not raising grass. We're raising boys. Isn't that nice? Get your priorities in order. What's important? Spending time with our children. That's important. Fathers, take time to read the Bible. Bible stories. Teach them godly principles. When you walk by the way, whatever you're doing, instill within them the things of God. Make their spiritual development a priority. And fathers, be a proper disciplinarian. One of the things lacking in our families these days is proper discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, I'm not telling you that you should beat your children all the time. There's a time for the rod. There's a time for spanking. And God has made a wonderful place for you to do that on their backside. But discipline is more than just spanking your children. Discipline is persistent and consistent follow-through. Discipline is saying, I told you not to do this, and this is going to be the consequence. Sometimes it's taking their devices away from them, their iPad, their phone. You know, this is a technology world that we live in, and kids love that kind of stuff. Taking their computer away from them. You know, I don't know about, you got to be careful sending them to their room these days because they've got things in there that they can play with. You know, take that. Don't send them in the room, send them in the corner or something. Find something that works. Things work for different kids depending on their personality. God wants you to, but the most important part of this is follow through. Be consistent with it and persistent and follow through. And you'll find out that your discipline works for your children. Sometimes it's just a matter of doing things right. And Ephesians tells us not to provoke our children. So we got to be careful that we get a fine balance between what is right, you know, between proper discipline and proper love. There's an old, I believe it's a Jewish proverb, it might be Chinese proverb, it said, pull your children close to you with one hand, with your left hand, and push them away with the right. What he's saying is, find the balance between love and discipline. There is a balance that can be found, and we need that. Ephesians tells us, do not provoke your children to wrath. Be careful you're not too harsh. Sometimes we just need to have proper boundaries and patiently instill those boundaries. You know, my grandsons spend the night with us quite often. I love those boys. Tammy has said many times, she told our children this, she's told other people, that if I had my way, they would all live with us. And that's true. I like them around. And it's wonderful. It's awesome. Now, are they all perfect all the time? No, those two, especially best two boys that spend most of the time with us, they fight with each other. They always find something to argue about. But, you know, we try to be as consistent and persistent with the discipline. One of the things that they do is when they go in the bathroom to take a shower, they throw their towel down and their clothes and everything. It just lays right there in the bathroom. So consistent, persistently, boys, come here, get your clothes, put them away, get your clothes, put them away. Someday they're going to get this. Get you, amen. Get your clothes and put them away. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. But we're going to persistently and consistently stay on top of them. You know, boundaries is extremely important when it comes to our children. And a few years ago, during the early days of the progressive educational movement, there was an enthusiastic theorist who decided that she went to a preschool where the children had a fence around. Now, this fence was around there just for protection of the children. It was in an open field to keep them from wandering away and everything, but there wasn't any real danger around it. So they decided what we're going to do is we're going to take the fence down, because that'll make the children feel like they're free and they can just play and not have any inhibitions about being caged up. This is how ridiculous it is. So they took this fence down, and what they discovered was not having the boundary really affected the emotional state of the children. They would hover in the middle of the play yard together because they were afraid to even go near the edge of the property where the fence was. They discovered the boundary was extremely important to the children. Boundaries are very important to your children. You know, as they get older, we try to loosen up a little bit. Give them more freedom, more freedom, more freedom as they grow to become adults. But don't forget, boundaries are important. If you say, be here at 10 o'clock for your teenager, they should be there at 10 o'clock. Set those boundaries. Oh, be flexible, I understand. You know, things happen. Don't allow them to push it and push it and push it. Be strong. Be faithful. Set boundaries. The last thing I want to touch on this morning, somebody, praise God, Eddie, did the children's church know that we'll be out earlier today? Because I won't be much longer. Love the church, fathers. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. A godly father is faithful to local body. The local body is important. Now, some people will say, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And technically that is true, but you are part of a body, the body of Christ. And, you know, the fellowship is important. The worship, the corporate worship is important. Getting to know people and having a support group, support basis is extremely important. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, you are a part of the body. And if you're not connected to the body, you're dislocated. And how many know, or maybe you've experienced a dislocated member of your body, a finger or an arm or something? If you know people that had a body part dislocated, you know the pain they go through. You've seen the agony of having a dislocated. I've playing basketball, I've seen guys get their shoulders dislocated. And most of them who have had that happen, it's something that happens to them on a regular basis. They get hit just right. So they got to pop it back in. And it's painful to have it dislocated, and it's painful to put it back. We're talking about something here that if you do not put it back, what happens? Atrophy sets in. And before long, you're going to lose muscle. And before long, you're not going to even be able to use your arm. Even if you put it back into place, you have to build it back up. That's what we're talking about here with the body of Christ. That's why the body of Christ is so important to you. We do not want you to be dislocated. We want you to be a vital member of the body. You don't want to be a useless part of the body of Christ. According to statistics, a father who is faithful to church, no matter what his wife's devotion, is very, very important. If a father's not faithful and the wife brings the children to church, 50% of the children will leave the church. Or they'll just leave, not be a part of the church. However, if the father takes the lead role, and even if the mother doesn't, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. And we're not talking so much about church. Church is important, yeah, but we're talking about salvation more than anything. We want our children to know the Lord and set that example for them. Someone once said, a child loves his mother, but he will follow his father. You know, when I was a child, I wanted to be just like my daddy. He would come home from work, and I'd run down to meet him, and he would let me jump on his legs, and he'd walk me up on his legs to the house. We lived on a driveway, and it was up the hill. And I adored my daddy. I loved him. And when I became a teenager, I didn't really want to be around my daddy. How many knows? Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's crazy, but that's the way we are. In my 20s, I wanted his help. In my 30s, I wanted his wisdom. I got wise enough to know that he had some wisdom that I wanted. In my 40s, I wanted his companionship, and we lost him to cancer. Today, I just want to be like him. He set an example. I want to be just like my daddy. When my life's over, I hope my legacy is as impacting as my dad's was, that my children will tell others, I want to be like my daddy. That's a great legacy if we can leave that. It's awesome. Stand with me. I'm going to tell you a story as we finish up this morning. Family was on vacation. They were at a lake. There was a dock there. And two boys were out playing by the dock. One was older than that. He was about 4 years old. And the other one was about 10. And as they were playing, the father was in just doing something, you know, fooling around while the two boys were playing on the dock. And Suddenly there was a splash, and the older boy cried out to Dad. Joey fell in the water. Joey's in water. And Dad come running, and he dove in the water, and he dove down, and of course, the water was in a lake, and it was murky, and he looked around. He couldn't see him, and he came back up, and he was gasping for air, and he went back down immediately, and he went to the bottom, and he was searching around, trying to find Joey. Couldn't find Joey, and as he came back up, he touched Joey's arm, and Joey was hanging on to the pier, the leg of the pier. And Dad pried his arms off, and they both burst to the top of the water and got some life-giving air. And finally, they sat down on the dock, and they relaxed for a little bit. When they finally got some strength, he said, "Joey, what were you doing down there hanging on to that pier?" He said, "Dad, I was just waiting on you, just waiting on you." Fathers, your children are waiting.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.